As a person who has been preaching for a couple of years now, one of the things that happens as a professional preacher is that you accumulate stories. You accumulate stories kind of the way hoarders accumulate cats. It's just sort of one of those things that you just find yourself logging stories and holding on to stories and remembering stories. And some stories are easier because they just settle somewhere deep inside of us that we just can't let go of. And I came across this story, 20 plus years ago, and I bring it to Easter every once in a great rare while because it was one of these stories that stuck in my mind. Supposedly, a true story about a Sunday school class, a Sunday school class of third graders. And I don't know if any of you all have ever had the joy of teaching a Sunday school class, especially one composed entirely of third graders. But there's both a special challenge and an amazing brightness to it. Because, like, those little ones were so thrilled to take a piece of candy home, just a simple piece of taffy or a sucker. When you are teaching the young ones, they are so excited about the story. And it's a marvelous thing to do. And in this particular class, the teacher had decided to make the lesson on Easter as interactive as at all possible. Because keeping an 8-year-old mind active and focused is not always an easy thing to do. And so the teacher had taken the class outside with a bunch of empty Easter eggs and said, here's what we're going to do, everybody. I want you to go out into the churchyard. And I want you to find something that you feel like represents the Easter story, put it in your Easter egg, bring it back, and we'll open all the Easter eggs and we'll just look and see what you've got and see how that applies to the Easter story. So one little kid comes back with their egg and they open the egg up and there's a rock in the egg. And the kid says, because they rolled the stone aside. And the teacher's like, well, that's very good. That's an excellent example. Another kid comes back and there's just a little teeny tiny flower in there. And the kid says, because at Easter, we always put out flowers. And like, oh, that's really wonderful. Yes, flowers. That's a great Easter example. Now, in this class, there was one particular student who was a rather extreme special needs student. A lot of different things had gone wrong in this young person's life. They had been born with a number of physical and mental handicaps. But they really loved the class. They weren't always 100% on board with what they were doing, and sometimes they were a little confused about the whole process because they were quite delayed, but also physically very far behind the other students, but they loved it. They enjoyed it. They loved being with their fellow students. And so the teacher was a little anxious and nervous when this particular student brought their Easter egg up because they weren't quite sure that the student would be able to express the Easter story with an object that they'd found out in the play yard. And so the teacher opens up the Easter egg and there's nothing in it. And they, well, I'm not going to make a big deal about this. They clearly didn't understand the assignment. So I'm just going to set it down and say thank you very much and move on to the next kid. But the student was not going to let them do that. And they open up the Easter egg and the Easter egg has nothing in it. And they go, okay. And this goes to set it down and say thank you. And the student says, it's empty. And the teacher says, yes, I saw that. It's empty. And he's just smiling really big. He says, it's empty. And the teacher says, yeah, it is. Okay, does anybody else have an egg? And the student says, and so was the tomb. And the teacher looks at the student, realizes that maybe they were understanding a little bit better than anyone thought. Now, this is the part of the story that every time I tell it, it definitely sits deep in my heart, because it's actually a true story. I mentioned that this child was born with a lot of physical handicaps as well. And as is often the case for children who are born with so many things stacked up against them, they did not survive. They did not, in fact, live out the third grade year. And they had a funeral at that church for that child. And at the end of the funeral, they had invited the whole of the congregation to come. They'd handed everybody flowers. The idea was that as you left, you would place a flower on top of that casket. And as they were walking out of the building, somebody noticed the third grade class had showed up without flowers. Instead, there were 12 empty Easter eggs on top of the casket. Empty Easter eggs. If you're a kid and you're going out to that Easter egg hunt, you're not looking for the empty Easter eggs. Those aren't the ones that you're... An empty Easter egg means it hit the ground, bounced a little bit, and the jelly beans fell out. But the simple fact of the matter is, we're all here for the empty Easter egg. We're all here for the simple knowledge that Jesus' tomb contained no dead person, but that Jesus had raised from the dead. And that as much as Christ has been raised from the dead, so too are each and every one of us promised to share in his resurrection, including that little third grader that really did understand the message of Easter. That in God's kingdom, it was Jesus' desire that we all live again. You realize an interesting fact about Jesus' life, and that is that Jesus did not encounter people who were sick or dying or even dead, that he left them in that condition. When Jesus encountered somebody, even poor Lazarus, who'd been in the grave 4 days, Jesus simply called him out of death into new life. In fact, sometimes Jesus healed people without even meaning to. There's this fabulous story about a woman who sneaks up on Jesus and touches the hem of his cloak and is made whole. It was in Christ's nature to bring life and new life to us all. This is why it was always in Christ's plan to die. Not just to die, but to take to the cross with him all of our sin, all of our brokenness, all of what separates us from God, so that that part of us might be empty too, so that we might know that we're wholly and completely forgiven. And that then Christ rose from the grave in order that we might share in his resurrection. Because it was Christ's final act here on earth to ensure that there never be another person that he ever encounters that he does not raise up from death. You and me, every person that we love and care about that is a part of the kingdom of God is promised to share in the resurrection of Christ. And so as those little third graders made their way out of that sanctuary when they were remembering their fellow student and they placed their empty Easter eggs on that small casket, it was with the absolute certainty that they would see their friend again. It was with the hope that came from knowing that the tomb was empty, and so too will be yours, so too will be mine. Because as we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we will share in his resurrection. And so I say to you all on this Easter Sunday morning, may you leave this place and celebrate with joy, with thanksgiving, with certainty, and with hope. The fact that the Easter message is our message. That we are Easter people and Alleluia is our song is an old saying within the church, and it is true. We live every day certain of what it is that Christ has done for us. And we give you thanks and praise for that, our Lord Jesus. Amen.